Whenever it rains, there's always some nasty little pest to spoil the fun, and this one is a fungi. It's called Septoria triticae blotch. It kills wheat, and it's developing fungicide resistance. Dr. Andrew Milgate is a New South Wales Department of Primary Industry research scientist, and he's discovered the fungus is actually most common in southwest Victoria. Dr. Milgate, welcome to the Country Hour.
Hello, Libby. Thank you.
Now, this fungus likes high rainfall?
Yes, it's a disease that is most common in high rainfall areas, and that's where it really can get a foothold and survive from season to season in the Australian cropping environment.
So it likes to sort of have its little holiday in the wheat stubble?
Yes, this particular fungus is what we call... It's from a group of fungi we call netrotrophic fungi, which basically means they survive on dead plant material. So they can infect living hosts and then they kill those hosts and then survive in the dead parts of the plant, as opposed to what some of your listeners would be more familiar with in terms of the things like stripe rust, which rely on surviving on living host material.
Is its common name just blotch?
No, its common name for the disease is Septoria triticae blotch, and its Latin name for the actual disease is Zymo Septoria triticae.
Okay, and the irony being that during the drought it wasn't prevalent, but now that we've had all this wonderful rain, it's back with a vengeance. And I understand you were collecting it, so to speak, to study before it developed resistance, and bingo, it already has.
Yes, well, we've been... the disease itself has been present in Australia for quite a long time, but what we haven't had is any evidence to suggest that it has acquired resistance or lost sensitivity to commonly used fungicides in the Australian cropping system. But we were aware that in other countries like the UK, where they have a much higher reliance on fungicides in their cropping system, that this particular pathogen had developed high levels of resistance to commonly used fungicides. And so what we were intending to do was to look back at our historical collection as well as our recent collections post the drought, and to our dismay we discovered that in the most recent collections over the last 3 years we actually detected a shift in the sensitivity of the presence of a number of mutations in the fungus that do give it reduced sensitivity to some of the fungicides that we commonly use in Australia.
We'll talk about its genetics in a moment. If it is left untreated, what will happen to a wheat crop? How much will a farmer lose?
If the crop is infected in the early stages of seedling growth and we have a wet spring, excuse me, and the disease is allowed to develop without any intervention in a susceptible variety, then growers could expect to lose up to 50% of their yield.
So that's costing them a lot of money, and I would have thought this spring would be just that, would it not? Is it quite bad at the moment?
In terms of the forecasts for the coming spring, forecasts are forecasts.
I must admit I was getting my seasons mixed up. I was thinking autumn. Yeah, we're probably actually going to have a dry spring.
Yeah, so in that circumstance, the disease is really a major problem when we have wet springs. So a dry spring for this type of disease actually slows its development down, so that the environment is working to help the farmers control this type of disease in dry.
Could they be seeing it now, though, Andrew, because we've had a wet start to the season, crops have been sown, they'd be germinating, and now it's quite warm. I would have thought fungus would like that.
Yes, we've had really what I would consider ideal conditions for early establishment of the disease. Last year I surveyed across the high rainfall zone in southwest Victoria, with a number of local agronomists, and Grant Holloway, the local plant pathologist from Victoria EPI. And we found the disease quite common in most, if not all, crops that we wheat crops that we stopped and looked at. So the disease is widespread across that area, and I would expect under the conditions we've had so far that early infections are likely to have been quite common.
And when you say this area, it's the cropping wheat growing sort of south of the Grampians. Would most farmers already know that their crop's infected?
They may not be aware that it would be infected this early. The biology of this pathogen is that infection, once a spore is transferred from the stubble onto the growing seedling, it can take up to 3 weeks before you actually see physical symptoms on the plants. So there's a lag phase before they actually become aware that an infection has even occurred.
And being a fungus, it would spread by its spores in the wind, so presumably it travels more easily than, say, a chemical-resistant weed.
Yes, that's correct. This particular, not all fungi are the same in terms of the amount of wind dispersal that occurs, but this particular fungus has a spore that is particularly adept at travelling long distances, and studies have shown that it can travel hundreds, thousands of kilometres.
Oh dear. Mm. And can it live in the soil as well?
No, it must. Its survival is reliant on being on intact stubble.
Now, speaking of the genetics, we do hear a lot more about chemical resistance in plants. Is it simpler to study a fungus because of a simpler cell structure, and therefore would it be simpler to find a new chemical for it?
No, not really. Our options for chemical control via fungicides for this particular pathogen are not that broad. There is a surprisingly limited number of what we call modes of action available around the world in fungicides to use as controls. And the reason for that is that the fungicides target a particular what we call protein within the living cell of the fungus and interact with that and block an essential pathway for energy to be formed within the cell. And so the number of targets that are available for fungicides for that interaction to happen are quite limited. And the fungi are quite, some of them like this one, Septoria, are quite good at changing the structure of the protein so that the fungicide doesn't work so well anymore.
Andrew, fascinating stuff. Best of luck with your research.
All right. Thanks very much.
Dr. Andrew Milgate, who is a New South Wales Department of Primary Industries research scientist, who's found that the Septoria tritici blotch is now resistant to fungicides.